Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from ITFA 2014, joined by filmmaker Hannah Polak, who is presenting her wonderful film, Something Better to Come. Thanks very much for joining us, first of all.
Thank you, hello.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what your film is about?
It's a story of actually growing up. My main protagonist, when I meet her, she is 11, she's 10. She's growing up on the largest garbage dump in Europe. But I think it's actually growing up not only in terms of becoming an adult, although this happens in my film, but I think it's actually growing up to the moment when you follow your dream, when you basically make your decisions in life, when you mature to take steps in your life to make a change. But of course, it's a film also about the community of homeless people, about the beauty of humanity between everything what decays, you know. I would say that's on the background of something really horrifying. You see the human beauty, the human, the bond between people, the love, the friendship. So basically this is the film about.
Yeah, good point, because one of the most beautiful things about this film is the contrast between the decadent landscape in which the story takes place and the love and the bond that these people actually share.
This is what I was completely amazed with, because I first came to the garbage dump. I was helping the people. I organized a charity group of volunteers who would go to help street children in Moscow. And from this, we started to have actually an organization. A Norwegian organization was created called Active Barn Help. It's still existing, Active Child Aid. And for many years we have been delivering food and clothes, but the main aim of this charity activity was to basically try to get the children out of the streets, try to basically save their lives somehow or other, make, because you can deliver a very temporary, very immediate help at the streets or at the garbage dump, but the people are still very vulnerable. Their life is not gonna end up well. And even when you look at the film right now about these homeless children and a group of homeless people, even we don't say it in the film, but in fact many of the people who are our protagonists are not alive anymore. On one hand, it's existing there. On the other hand, there is no civilization then. There is no running water, there is no electricity, there is no medical help, medical assistance and things like this. So the people live in the heavy winter, minus 30 Celsius.
Wow.
And at the same time make say, small huts, make some fire in some tins. So living very primeval life and at the same time using whatever the civilization can provide to them.
Yeah, at one point one of the people that's in the documentary actually says this is the kind of life we live. You go to sleep one night and then you don't wake up. It's for some people it would be so hard to even begin to understand what a hard life they live. What made you want to examine and develop your film in this particular setting?
You know, it's actually started from, well, like I mentioned before, it started from the charity activities, because in the beginning I tried to help in many different ways, the people and the children. I was bringing medicines, smuggling people outside of the garbage dump, because it's an isolated area, it's completely forbidden, it's illegal to be there, and of course it's completely forbidden and illegal to film there.
Yeah.
I started to take still photographs, and I started to film, because this was another way how I was thinking, you know, maybe I can deliver this subject, I can raise people awareness, I can make people aware about such a problem, you know. My resources are very limited, and I also could see that there is so many of homelessness, so many homeless people in this world, because this film actually took me 14 years to make, a very long time.
14 years.
Wow. When I look at this today, I even see it, that it's a huge price which you have to pay with your own private life. It's of course your time. It's a very huge commitment to do something like this. In the editing process, the film is extremely difficult. It was extremely, I mean, it was the most difficult project I ever worked for, because I realized that the time-lapse story is the most demanding in the editing. It's very difficult to put it together. Of course, we had a lot of footage, but the other thing is you have to stick to the chronology, but sometimes when you stick to the chronology, it becomes also boring. So it's a huge challenge. Also, the specific of the filming was, because I mentioned that it was completely illegal to be there. So the specific is that you are not able to take a tripod and film what you like and when you like. I have to find a way how you get to the garbage dump, how I will move around, how I will film, hide myself oftentimes. So all of this makes the footage very specific also. It's not like a film which you get all the permissions. I mean, there was a wonderful film, Wasteland, but the guys had budget, the guys had permissions. They could flew the helicopter over the garbage dump, and it's a totally different situation when you come and when you try to film a real kind of a mafia structure in which you are totally not welcome. You know, all the system, I mean, the people are completely invisible. They, like I said, they isolated. It's an isolated area, and it's totally not allowed to, and of course it's a reason also, because it's a place where all the hazardous materials are dumped. Very dangerous, lots of heavy machinery working. It's a place where also waste from the hospitals is being dumped, etc. So overall, and also the people don't want, the people who are security for this kind of garbage dumps, they understand that the security is also needed. So for many different reasons, it's actually a military area, heavy protected. There are hundreds and thousands of dogs which are being shot from time to time by the federal police, etc. So all of this makes the conditions of working. It's like a country in the country, you know.
The community seemed to welcome you even in their most intimate moments with your camera.
Well, of course, there were some people who didn't want me to film them, and I would not point my camera if they were not happy with this. But also, I think for these people, I represented something what they really missed.
Someone the that would listen to them.
Yes, the acceptance of the society. I think the biggest problem of homelessness is this loneliness, this feeling of being completely rejected by society. And I have to tell you that in my experience of helping, of course, I was very warmly welcomed by the people. And in fact, one time, quite recently, I asked Jula, because I asked Jula, do you have any questions to me? Because I always ask you questions. And she said, you know, I have one question. What did you think when you were coming and when you were seeing the children and the people? And I told her, I was very thankful to the people for their warm acceptance, for embracing me. And she started to cry and she told me, you know, because these people were really working for you. They were really loving you. They were always asking when Hannah is coming. So actually it created a very strong bond, and it's not that they were just protagonists. I feel that I am sharing something very personal. It's not really a film for me, which I have shot in a way that, you know, I knew this is a subject matter. It's a very personal, intimate relationship with the people.
Yeah.
So it's a very, and for many years this was only my footage, you know, nobody really had the access to it. And after editing now, I will share today this with people. And I realize that it's quite strange to bring it to the white public.
Of course, after 14 years, you're just naturally attached. It's very personal work for you too.
And I feel these are very personal moments also, because the people were not just observed, they related to me, they talked to me, they joke with me, they share their thoughts with me. So it's a very... But I also think it's a project, because I was talking about being rejected, the fact that people have embraced me so warmly. When I was trying to help them, when I took the people to the hospital and they were not accepted, and I basically experienced the wall the people are facing, and I think this was the most difficult experience for me.
Something Better to Come is a powerful experience, one that is very real, but also naturally poetic. I thank you very much for joining us and talking to us about your wonderful film.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.